All right, so everybody's nice and filled up from after lunch, so thanks for coming in here and joining us. So today we're going to talk about modern web tool chain. My name is Shane. You guys can reach me on Twitter at SP Boyer, or hit my blog website at tattoocoder.com. I'm from Orlando, so I've made the trip out here to spend the week with you guys talking about web tool chain. This is an interesting topic for me, just because I've been doing web development some form or fashion since the web browser wars of IE 2 and 3 and Netscape. So just a quick show of hands, how many developed for Netscape? Okay, so it's just a couple of hands, so we've lived that world. It seems like every time you think about modern web tool chain or web tools, it changes on a regular basis. I think if I gave this talk about 8 months ago or 9 months ago, the set of tools that I would talk about then would be quite different, or a little bit different anyways, than they are now. So I'd be curious to hear some of the tools that you guys use during this talk or even after the talk. So feel free to chime and ask questions as well. So I think we're all familiar with this machine, right? And it's I wanted to kind of give an analogy of what kind of tools were. I think if I wanted to get a soda, right, I could walk up and very easy for me to just grab a soda, right? Get a cup, go grab a soda, it's pretty simple, right? Not a lot of choice, right? Quick show of hands, anybody know what a suicide is? Right? Yeah, you grab it. Kids like to do that, right? Just go grab every single one I could. Tastes like garbage when you're done, and start all over again, right? Pretty simple. Recently, probably in the last few months, you probably saw a new machine show up at some of your places, right? Does anybody know what that was called? The new shiny machine, the freestyle machine, right? I can see some thumbs down. It's not good. What happens when this machine shows up, right? There's a lot of new choices that come up, but they're really the same choices that we had before, right? If you looked at that screen, they looked a lot like this. But what else is new on that screen? All right, it's a new machine. It gives us the same things, the same output, but notice what else is there. We just have one big button that says push. We have some new instructions along the side. You can see it just to the left here. We have instructions on how to use this. Why do we need instructions on how to get the same exact thing, right? It says, use your finger, select this, then push the ice levers. We have this new type of device in order to get the same output. And then there's a third instruction on the bottom that probably says, use your finger again and choose something else. All I want is a soda, right? So once I choose, let's say, Diet Coke, all right, so we go here, we've got all these choices, we're not sure what we want to do, I just want a soda, right? I just want a Diet Coke. So I choose a Diet Coke. What do you mean I've got more choices now, right? I just want a Diet Coke, all right? So I have a raspberry Diet Coke, I want a cherry Diet Coke, I want an orange Diet Coke, what else we got? Vanilla Diet Coke, a lime Diet Coke. Can you imagine how difficult it would be if I wanted to have a suicide? All right? How hard would it be to make a suicide on this machine? All right? I'm going to choose a Diet Coke, and then I go choose this. And I'm going to choose a Coke Zero, and I have to go make another choice. And I have to keep hitting the back button. How long would it take you to do that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? Like, oh, forgot to get ice. I have to go back and do the ice thing. Let's look at this machine again. It's a simple choice. I want a suicide. I have this one lever that says push for ice, right? Put it in there, push the lever, get my ice, get my suicide, go here, right? Very, very simple. It's one motion. How does that relate to the web development or even application development over the last 15, 20 years, right? And I've been doing this now, you know, that amount of time. Hard to think that I've been doing it that long. If I wanted to, let's go through our choices again, sorry. Make more choices. Okay. I just want to make an application, right? So let's go back 5 years, 10 years ago. I just want to make a web application. I only had a few choices to make, right? So we have IntelliJ, I have Eclipse, or I have Visual Studio. All right. If you go back a little bit further, Visual InterDev users, right? A couple of us, right? We've lived Visual InterDev. And maybe WebStorm. WebStorm's been around a while, but you know, I only needed one application, right? I went to one place. It's kind of like Home Depot or Lowe's, right? I just want to build a house or I want to build a shed. I can go one places. Go to one place. Can you imagine having to build a shed and I have to go to 17 stores to get all the things I need, right? It would be pretty inefficient. So the web is now very similar to that, right? Now we have all these choices, right? We have all of these different tools, all of these different things that we have to go to. We could still use Visual Studio. We could still use Eclipse or IntelliJ. But is it the most efficient way to do it? I actually think it's a little harder to use one of those tools, those IDEs. I think they've become very large, complex. I just want to build a simple, let's say, Angular website, right? Is Visual Studio the best tool to do that? Is Eclipse the best tool to do that? It's a lot to get installed. It's pretty heavy for me to do it. I might just need Visual Studio Code or Sublime or something simple, lightweight. I want to do cross-plat installation. I might have a team that's diverse in their choice in OSs, and they have nice tooling and add-ins for those particular IDEs or editors that allow me to choose. So, but what happens with this machine, if we go back to this machine, when we start putting it in, what happens when you start to learn how to use it? Recently, where I work, we went from the classic fountain machine and we put in the shiny new machine. When we put this machine in, the line went out the door, right? Literally, it took forever for people to learn how to use this. The average age of those people using this are much older than, let's say, 15 and younger, right? My kids know how to use this machine. They think it's fantastic. Every time they see it, they're like, woo, Coke Freestyle. Right? They go up, man, they know how to use it, they do their thing, they make all their fancy drinks and ready to go. I'm like, I can't get this stupid button to work, I'm not touching it right, I forget the dice, it's difficult. But once you learn how to use this machine, once you learn how to use the tools, it's pretty simple. I can go up and get my cherry Dr. Pepper, I'm ready to go, right? It's very simple. And I think the same is true when we start getting into these choices about what web tools we want to use. If I'm looking at this selection of choice and I want to build a mobile application, my choices are pretty simple for me. I can choose Ionic, which is a little guy on the bottom, looks like an alien head. And I know that's got Angular, and I want to do some automation build, so I'm going to use Gulp. Right? So I know those three choices for me are pretty simple. Right? If I want to build a web application that's responsive, I know what three or four buttons I want to choose, right? Pretty simple. So let's talk about a couple of these choices and what they can offer for us. The first one is Node. And Node is really the basis of a lot of these tools, right? It's cross-platform, allows us to build a lot of tooling on top of it. It's really the base platform that allows us to build APIs. It's the basis of things that are task runners like Grunt and Gulp, and again, it's cross-platform and building a lot of great tooling on top of that. In order to get this, if you're using OS X, you would use Homebrew and install Node using that command there. If you're on Windows, you want to use Chocolaty. Anybody using Chocolaty? If you're not using Chocolaty, please go get it. It's a fantastic tool for installing components and things on Windows. And you do Choco install Node.js. One of the things I want to mention about Node is the recent merging of IO.js and Node in our versioning that's there. A lot of these tools A lot of the challenges there now is that you want to make sure that your tools are running on compatibility or compatible problems between versions 12, 10, 12, and 4, are really the three versions that a lot of the enterprise and a lot of projects are starting to see if there's compatible issues. So one of the things I would mention is on OS X, installing N. So install npm install -g N. What that allows you to do is run multiple versions of Node on OS X and change the version within your terminal window. So when you're testing and evaluating your app, you can do that. And I'll show you how in a few minutes when we run through some examples there. On Windows, for the same capabilities, NVM is a good Node version manager that allows you to do the same thing. So I can run multiple versions of Node on the Windows platform, make those changes, do some tests without having to go through the complete reinstallation process. And it's a great command line tool to allow you to do that. The next tool is Bower. In the past, when building a web application, basically we would go out to a CDN, or we'd just go out to the web like jQuery, and we would download their package, that maybe their zip, extract that, manage all those dependencies for jQuery, a Bootstrap, or Angular. Maybe we're going to NuGet to get our Angular stuff and our Bootstrap items. Now with Visual Studio, they're exposing the Bower packages and the Bower implementations within Visual Studio as well. You can use the actual Bower package manager for all of those front-end resources. If you're going to be using, obviously, Mac or using even Windows, npm install, you want to do a global install and install the Bower package manager there. Visual Studio does have this built in as well, but if you're going to be using any of the command line tooling for Bower, you want to make sure you install it from a command line or from your Bash terminal in order to allow you to do that. Again, we'll run through some of these examples towards the end. The next item we'll talk about is task runners. Now, when it comes to doing repeatable tasks, things you're going to be doing over and over again, stuff like code minification, your image optimizations, unit testing, code quality checks, you want to build in these processes that do it for you, right? You don't want to have to manually do this. In the past, we've had things from Visual Studio and packages like from Mads Christensen that have Web Essentials that would do these things for us. Gulp has a task runner that will allow us to do these things over and over and manage this within our continuous integration, continuous deployment that will allow us to run these processes for us over and over. The benefit of this is that we can put this in our code base, have everybody that's in our project, and give them the ability to do that themselves, but in the same manner. So everybody's managing these processes the same way, and nobody's doing it on their own in their kind of non-standard or non-project standard way. The alternative to that, to Gulp, or another version of a task runner, would be Grunt. It is the same, gives us the same capabilities, but it is a just an alternative, same package type of thing, and we would install the same way from the command line with the Grunt CLI. So when it comes to two options like this, you know, what are the differences between the two, and what can we do differently between them, or how do they handle this stuff differently? To which do you choose? There's two big differences between the two, between Grunt and Gulp. Grunt is considered a configuration-based, where Gulp is stream-based. What does that mean? Think of it as if I was wrapping a present. Gulp would pick up the present and constantly do things to it. They're stream-based. So it picks it up, it does the work. What's the next thing I do? I'm going to continue to do the work, and if I have the package in my hand. When it's done, it's going to set it down. Grunt is a pick it up, I'm going to do something, I'm going to set it back down. Next task, I'm going to pick it up, do something, and set it back down. So it's a little slower. Grunt was the first task runner that was really popular. It's got a ton of ecosystem, very large ecosystem behind it. A lot of packages. Gulp is kind of the new task runner that's coming up, and it has a growing equivalent ecosystem, and the community around it is continuing to build more and more add-ins to do the same or similar type of tasks. So how do we kind of put all these things together? I don't want to do them individually. I want to make sure that our development teams are running the tasks the same, they're using the same templates, they're using the same tooling, things like that. That's where Yeoman comes in. Yeoman is a scaffolding tool that is built on top of Node. It's got Bower and Grunt built into it. You can also use Gulp. Some of the popular template scaffolding tools that are built on top of this already are the ASP.NET 5 templates, as well as Angular. If you go to yeoman.io and look at some of the other packages that are available, there's 2,500, if not more than that now, that have reusable templates that are out there. Almost any project template you can think of for doing this, for doing project development, is currently built, and you can obviously build your own. I mean, Samsung TV apps right now, there's a template generator for doing that. We use this at work now for making sure that every project that starts, we are ensuring that the project has built-in Grunt task or built-in Gulp task for doing linting of their JavaScript. The template is the same. There's the project scaffold or project organization is the same, that is following the standards that we want, the coding standards. We do Git hooks in there so that certain complexity and certain formats of the code is set so they actually can't be checked into GitHub. So you can enforce that within your teams and everybody's working under the same type of structure. Big benefits. Lastly, my favorite modern web tool is the command line. I know it sounds a little strange to say the command line is actually a modern web tool. But all of these tools that we talked about, the basis of all of them is the command line themselves. Visual Studio, a lot of the add-ins for VS Code, for Brackets and Atom, and all the IDEs that you're using are building on top of the CLIs that are running in the command lines. Visual Studio has a great integration with Bower and Grunt and Gulp, and even Node for that matter, for some of the toolings that they're using. But they're all built on top of the command line. So they start with the command line tooling first and make sure that works, and they build the IDEs on top of that. So I can show you some of the capabilities of what they're doing in Visual Studio right now, but there's things that you can't do with some of the IDEs that you'll get the benefits by going right down to the command line and doing some basic searching, building, and things of that nature when it comes to using the command line as a tool. So big benefits there. And the command line's cross-platform when it comes to those tools. So any questions right now before we move over to some of the demos? No questions. All right. So let's look at some code. So let's start with Visual Studio. And we'll start with a ASP.NET 5 project. So let's open a basic, I don't know why I did that. It's awesome. There we go. So we'll start with a web application. Open the source here. Display is jumping around on me. We'll first look at Bower. That's not me, I didn't do that. Okay. So let's bump this up here. All right, you can see right now the Bauer right now, this is the Bauer JSON file. It's going out and it's getting Bootstrap. It's getting the Bootstrap Touch Carousel, Hammer.js, jQuery, et cetera. And we've looked in dependencies over here. Let's move this over. You can see it's gone and downloaded those particular resources and put them in our Bauer here. But one of the things that we could do is we can actually go and add, let's see if we can add Angular. See what it's telling us. So it actually goes out to the Bauer repository and gives us the versions that's there, the current latest stable versions. We can choose, all right, we want 147, that's great. We save. And it tells us right now that it's not installed on the other side there, and then it actually goes out and restores a project. One of the advantages of the tooling on the command line is can't get my, there we go, get it out of the way. And so we can also use it from here. I can do something like search, Bauer search, and let's say Angular. It's thinking. So here's an advantage of knowing and understanding the actual command line toolings that are associated with Bauer. This is something that we don't have, for instance, in Visual Studio. Let's say I don't know, for instance, what Angular packages are available for me, is I can actually go out and search for all of the things that are available from Angular. So let's say there's Angular Touch, there's Angular Translate, REST Angular, so it's not just the actual Angular package, it's all of the other ones. And I could do the same thing for let's say jQuery, right? It actually goes out and hits the npm package, and it tells me, the Bauer package repository, and looks for all of the things that are associated with that jQuery string that's there, which is a really good way to look for those things. And there's obviously websites. The website you can go out and search for that thing as well. But for me, just to be able to do it within the command line tool is great as well. So let's say, for instance, that I wanted to install something like Angular or jQuery. So then I would just say Bauer install Angular. Let's do Angular Translate. That could spell. We need a tab or something, right? And I would say --save. And what that will actually do is add it into my project. It's going to get all the related packages that are associated with that, and then put it into, reload it, and it automatically puts it into my pack, into my Bauer JSON file, and downloads the resource. This is actually the same exact thing that it did when I added it to my file here, right? It actually did the same thing for me. I just did it through the command line, right? So understanding what it's doing from a command line perspective is good to know that as well. Something else here we could do. I could also say Bauer list. So what this is doing is it actually goes and checks my project, and it looks at the existing items that I have in my project and then it checks to see if I have the latest. All right, so it lists all the current dependencies that I have in my Bower-JSON file. And then it says, do you have any new existing, new versions that are there? All right, so I have Angular 1.4.7, the latest is 1.5. Let's see, Bootstrap is good, Hammer.js is good. And then there's jQuery 2.1 is what I've got, but there's a latest alpha of 3.0. So if I wanted to upgrade, I could actually update those as well, all right? Again, something that I'm not getting out of the IDE that they could build into the IDE as well, it's just not there, right? Okay, let's clear out of that. So let's look at what's the next thing we've got here? Let's look at Gulp and Grunt. We'll get a Gulp. So here's an example of the standard Gulp file that comes with Visual Studio that does our actual concatenation, our CSS minification, an awesome name for uglifying. So we uglify our JavaScript, right? So some obfuscation there. And then the last thing it's doing in this file is actually reaching out to our project.json file in order to get a reference for our web root, to get that www root file. Get a list of some of our paths here so we know where to put things. Our task here, this remraf is a package that actually will go and delete the files from that destination file, right? So this clean JS is a task. We're defining a task. It says go clean the JavaScript files. So we're passing in a callback when it's complete, saying go remraf or clean out the paths. So this points to this particular here. So we're going to go and clean out that actual file. Same thing with our CSS. And then one of the things that we can do in a task, if I highlight this task here, is we can define a task that does multiple tasks, right? So here we're saying clean, we'll say gulp task clean, actually clean out, run those other two at the same time, right? So go clean all of our JavaScript, go clean all of our CSS at the same time. Then we have a task that's defined to minify things. So we're gonna minify our JavaScript. We're going to do multiple things there where we're concatenating all of our JavaScript files together in a single file, and then do some obfuscation, and then put them into a destination folder, and that'd be the root folder there. So we have actually a task runner explorer within Visual Studio that shows all of these tasks, right? So I can right-click and say run this, and you'll see that this actually gives us the output. So it started our minification, it shows exactly what it's doing by stream, and it's great, all complete and done. Awesome, right? Wrong OS. But if I'm in the command prompt, can I do the same things? One other thing that's important that I want to mention is in Visual Studio, your Gulp and your Grunt and Bower are all sandboxed, right? They're not installed globally. So when you're installing Visual Studio, you want to make sure that if you're going to be doing any command line stuff, to go out to the command line and make sure to install these tools globally. So from the slides, make sure you're doing the npm install -g, your Bower, your Gulp CLI, and your Grunt CLI, so you can take advantage of these if you choose to do that. So I can actually run these same tasks from here in my project. So I just run the gulp min CSS. I can actually run the gulp clean. And you'll see that the output is the same exact thing as what was done inside of Visual Studio, right? And why is this important? Is that if I start putting this project into a continuous integration, continuous build, something like Jenkins or VSO, that I can tell Visual Studio Online or Jenkins to actually run these command line tools, right? say, go ahead and run this to make sure that I'm doing a minification, I'm doing a build step, I'm doing all of my uglifying and my cleaning out, and package all of this before I go ahead and publish it to my production server or my QA server, things like that, so I don't have to worry about doing the stuff on the fly, perhaps like we did in the past with previous versions. Grunt works the same way. It's the same type of tooling. Visual Studio has the same capabilities, and they show the same thing in the Task Runner. It's just a configuration more instead of a coding type of option there. Okay. One of the things that, why is this important from a cross-platform and sharing, if I take this same project, switching over to OS X, I can open up the same project in Visual Studio Code, for instance, and execute the same things. Let me bump this up. So here's my project, and I can still run my gulp tasks here. And it does the clean CSS. Or I can just run clean, and it runs my clean JavaScript and my clean CSS. This allows me to have a diverse development group. They can run whatever editor they like. They can run whatever OS they want. If they run Linux or Mac or Windows, this, you know, choice is king, right? So they can use whatever they want. It allows us to have cross-platform, share the code, share the tooling. If I'm using Yeoman to generate my templates, enforce the project structure, enforce the gulp task runners or grunt task runners, that we're all running the same type of environments when it comes to that structure and those tasks. So that's a huge benefit for me. I can just push the GitHub, you pull it down, or Joe pulls it down. We're all making sure we're running the same type of thing. Big benefit from that perspective. And again, I still have the same thing where I can run Bower list here. It's the same exact output. So it's a big benefit from that perspective. Okay. From a node thing I wanted to show you real quick here. On OS X, I said we were gonna be installing N. So if I run, I think it's N list. So what N allows me to do is, if I run N list, it gives me all the available versions of Node that I can actually look at. So all the way back to 0.8, I don't know why I would run that. Currently I have version 12.6 and 4.2.1 installed. If I just choose N, I just typed N and it allows me to choose what version I wanna run. So I say I wanna run version 4.2.1, and now I'm currently running that inside of that terminal. I can open up a new window and run N again and run version 12. It allows me to run and test my application. If I'm running an Angular app or a Node app, I can change that, so that's real helpful. I think I have NVM installed here. Let's see. I don't. NVM. That's how we would install that. This would allow me to run NVM, multiple versions of Node. Here, I think we just do NVM lists. Oh, maybe I did it wrong. It tells me it's not correct. But you can run multiple versions of Node on Windows as well, and be able to change what version you're currently running in order to make those changes and test your app in both places as well, right? All right, so we've got about 10 minutes, 9 minutes for questions. Are there any questions? Oh, it's not supported now. NVMW. Oh, interesting. It used to be. Okay, so NVM is not supported anymore. It was supported last week when I did the slides. Other questions? My opinion of TypeScript? It's fantastic. That's a non-Microsoft opinion. No, TypeScript is great. If you're going to be doing any Angular 1, even Angular 2 work, TypeScript is great. I've done node development in TypeScript. VS Code or Visual Studio Code is an awesome editor for TypeScript. So, yeah, it's definitely a good choice. Other questions? No? Okay. Let me go back here. All right, some resources. Let's go back to present. Some great sites to check out. Again, some of the stuff we mentioned. Bower.io has a list. They have a repository there. You can actually search some of the packages that are available. I would encourage using the CLI to the command line tools for doing some of the searches, but they do have a repository search on there as well. I think in your projects, you'll probably have a really good idea of what type of things are most common things you're going to be searching for. Yeoman, I would encourage you to look at for templating your project. Even if you're doing Visual Studio, you can still benefit from that. I'm involved in the ASP.NET 5 templates. We do use Yeoman for that. Even on Windows, you can do that as well. It's a really good way for you to establish the standards for what you're doing. Gulp and Grunt, definitely look into that for looking at your task runners. Again, looking at how you're going to be minifying your JavaScript, image minification. There's great add-ins for a lot of that stuff that's out there. I know I mentioned that Gulp does a streaming to kind of make things more efficient. There is a Grunt package that allows you to run things in parallel. So if you're using Grunt, if your teams decide to use Grunt versus Gulp for one reason or another, there are very similar packages for doing something like that. And Node as well. Node's a great thing to understand and learn how it works. It is the basis for at least most of the things that are on the list that are there. If you guys have any questions, I'll be around for the rest of the day. Definitely ask me questions on Twitter. And visit my blog if you have any other questions there. So I appreciate your time. So thank you.